And yesterday in Washington, it was Barack Obama on his first full day as president meeting the press. And first, he walked the walk.
During this period of economic emergency, families are tightening their belts, and so should Washington. And that's why I am instituting a pay freeze on the salaries of my senior White House staff.
A pay freeze for anyone making six figures or more. And he talked the talk.
Public service is a privilege. It's not about advantaging yourself. It's not about advancing your friends or your corporate clients.
And at his news conference, he delivered a promise.
We need to make the White House the people's house. And we need to close the revolving door that lets lobbyists come into government freely and lets them use their time in public service as a way to promote their own interests over the interests of the American people when they leave.
In a very short encounter with the press, he also talked about the Freedom of Information Act, greater openness in Washington, the end of any number of eras. Joining us now is Newsweek senior White House correspondent Richard Wolff to talk about what was a very active bully pulpit yesterday from Barack Obama. What do you make of it, Richard?
Well, he's sending some clear signals that that things have changed, that he's on the job. It was more symbolic than anything else. Remember, he's not going to save a whole lot of money by freezing the pay for these senior folks in the White House. But it is a good statement to send out when you're saying we've all got to tighten our belts. I think probably more important was the stuff about lobbying. He signed a couple of executive orders restricting what kind of work former lobbyists could do in his White House and the kind of work that soon-to-be or future ex-White House staffers could do in terms of lobbying when they leave. So those are the kinds of things he talked about on the campaign. It's delivering on that promise and a sign of the start of what is going to be another busy day on day two today.
And he really widened out the number of people who are eligible for these kinds of lobbying restrictions, conflict of interest restrictions. And you couldn't have had a greater contrast from all the discussions 8 years ago when the Bush administration began of what Cheney's going to do with his Halliburton stock.
Right. Well, and it wasn't just that 8 years ago. Remember that actually for the first couple of weeks, they were focused very much on the quote-unquote vandalism in the White House, the missing W's on the,
right,
on the typewriters.
Right.
You know, they're really trying to set a different tone from what we saw 8 years ago. And we're going to see that again today when it comes to Guantanamo Bay. And of course, he met with his military advisors, his national security folks yesterday, talking about a new direction in Iraq. So lots of efforts to deliver, at least early on this idea of change.
Is it activity that marks the contrast here? Is it the selection of issues that is happening? Or is it just simply the freshness of having a new face that seems to be such a morale booster as you look at these events in the early going?
Well, I think it's a bit of both. Moving to a timetable for withdrawal in Iraq is a huge shift. Halting the military commissions, the trials in Guantanamo Bay, is a big shift. These are substantive. On the other hand, we don't know. It's not a full resolution. We don't know the details of the withdrawal from Iraq. We don't know what's going to replace these trials, because these people are not going to be freed out of Guantanamo Bay, not all of them anyway. So it's a start, and it's important for them to make a start that is lots of activity to it, as you say. Remember, when you have 2 million people or close to that on the National Mall, the expectations are high for them to deliver quickly.
And I guess the question is, what's the methodology for keeping this sort of thing going? I mean, looking at Guantanamo Bay, what's the chance there, for instance, that it could get bogged down in some sort of dispute with Congress about the specifics of how it gets implemented?
Well, I think the dispute here is really legal. What kind of system is going to actually listen to the trials that they want to set up? Eric Holder, the incoming attorney general, if he is confirmed as we expect, has suggested that these will be trials in American courts and under regularly respected international norms. Well, they're going to have a problem with that, because so many of these interrogations will not meet any judicial standard whatsoever because of the use of coercive techniques and torture. So I don't think the problem is going to be with Congress. I think it's going to be with the courts about what's acceptable evidence. The vast bulk of the people in Guantanamo Bay, though, will be freed to their home countries, because these countries are now saying, we're ready to take them. We wouldn't do it for the Bush administration. We're going to do it for the new president.
Which is an interesting indication of the sort of foreign policy arrangements and fluidity that Barack Obama has to exploit at this point. Quickly, we talked to a pool reporter at the top of the hour, Richard, who actually witnessed that historic second swearing in. You weren't there, were you?
I was not there. Very few people. It's a source of some controversy because it was very restricted, and it was a moment of history. They may want to forget it, but it was a moment of history.
Well, I mean, you're an old White House hand. I mean, the pool report thing is usually a bit of drudgery, but I imagine you were a little bit jealous there, huh?
You know, jealous and also ashamed that there was no better recording than a handheld audio little device. People really should have had some cameras in there.
Oh, it's great. It's a great little detail, and I love talking about it with you. Richard Wolff, catching us up on everything on the first day of the Obama administration, Newsweek senior White House correspondent. Thanks, Richard.
Thank you.